outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy.
It's bacon and eggs,
biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, that's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Good. Hey everybody, it's Inside Outdoors. This is Don Jordan. I'm here in Bloomington, Indiana with my buddy Rich Reardon. Say hi, Rich.
Hi.
Well, we got a nice week just passed, lots of rain.
Yeah, spring is springing.
Water everywhere is muddy.
Yeah.
I drove over in Owen and Greene counties last week and crossed a lot of streams, and they were all... You could track coons across the stream. So muddy.
Yeah.
And that is hardly ever good for fishing. And even though crappies will bite fine in muddy water, if the only really good public place to fish for big crappies is Cataract. And Cataract was at least 24 feet above normal last week. And people are fishing. Fishing and not doing so well. There's also quite a bit of fishing activity in the last week at Lake Monroe, last 2 weeks actually.
Yeah.
It's been slow, and anybody who's reported said they caught some small crappie. That's about it. I did see a picture somewhere of a big carp somebody had caught fishing for crappie. So at least you get it something to tug on you there, you know, they pull hard. Well, they're not crappie for eating, however, and this is a good time. This is the time of year you want to eat crappie if you like to eat crappie, because their flesh stays nice and firm in the cold water.
Yeah.
And the water is still cold. Did you say you had a water temperature for Monroe?
I do. The level is 546, and the temperature has not gone up very much. It's only about 49.
Well, that's what it was a couple days ago. Yeah. Actually, on the 17th was the last time I saw a temperature
recorded. It's just, yeah, it's up a hair. It's like 549.3.
Well, it's time of year. As getting towards that time when the black morels ought to be coming up.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of warm, decently warm nights. But, of course, that's... going down the tubes this weekend is supposed to be in the 20s.
Right.
For the lows.
Yeah, we were talking about trying to get our herb garden out on the back porch. She's got a, it's like a mini little hothouse that's made out of plastic. It's like a little tent. It's pretty cool. You can stand up in it. And we're going to make a little herb garden out there this year.
Cool.
But... Not quite yet time to plant. And we've got this other thing that we got was given to us. It's like a little seed starter thing. It's got like a fluorescent light on it, and then you have these little places where you put the dirt, and it keeps it wet, and they start there. And we've got a bunch of cilantro that's just growing like crazy, so I'm excited about having... Yeah.
Cilantro is very hardy, and it grows like crazy, you know?
Sure does.
And it makes a lot of seeds. If you don't cut your cilantro, you'll have cilantro there the next year.
Right.
You know? I got some coming up right now down in one of my gardens at the window pane.
Well, if you like it, you really should get out there and make your own, because it tastes so much better than the stuff you buy at the store.
Oh, yeah. It's got that real cilantro taste, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, anything you buy at the store is not going to have that same cilantro taste.
Yeah.
And cilantro, I don't see how you can have a fajitas without pico de gallo, and you got to have cilantro in that, you know?
Right.
So Mexican food is the definite must for cilantro.
Absolutely. I use it just in salad, which, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it, but I love it in salad too.
I grow herbs too every year, and the ones that come out the best, basil just goes nuts here.
Yep.
And rosemary does decent, not great, but decent, and oregano just mm-hmm. goes crazy.
You know,
if you want those spices, no problem growing those.
How about parsley?
I have never grown parsley. I don't usually use the stuff, so
yeah,
it's when I don't grow.
There's certain dishes that use it in, but it's kind of good on some chicken dishes. But anyway, I'm looking forward to growing some stuff this year. We're going to be going a little crazier than we have the last few years. We got things kind of ready to go this year.
Where is your garden? Out by your garage there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the herb garden is all intact and ready to go. She's got it all set up. So, yeah.
Well, it's that time of year. And, of course, got to remember the freezes aren't over, so you don't want to plant anything yet.
Not yet.
You get away with planting probably lettuce and radishes right now. But it's still, you know, it's like I said, this weekend going to be in the 20s.
Yep.
So the freeze date here used to be May the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's that anymore. As a matter of fact, last couple of years, I believe I've put out plants, tomato plants, on the 1st of May,
mm-hmm.
and they never got frozen. Of course, you're taking a risk. You do have a risk when you do that. But we're on top of a hill, and so are you, actually, aren't you?
Yeah.
When you're on top of a hill, it doesn't freeze up there as often as it does down in the valley.
No.
So.
And we're going to we're going to start ours in that little hot house, so that ought to get us out there just a little earlier, maybe a week.
Yeah. Well, say, I guess everybody's fishing. If you're not an old guy and have your lifetime fishing license already.
How old do you have to be for that?
62.
Hmm.
62, 65, I'm not sure. It's been so long ago since I was 62 or 65.
Right.
I don't know. But if you're not, you're going to pay $23 for your fishing license this year. As you know, the prices went up. And still, $23 is pretty cheap compared to other states. And Montana, if you're not a resident in state person, it costs you $100
mm-hmm.
by fishing license. And I don't believe that Ohio and Illinois charge. I know Illinois is, you know, more in line with us. So it's still a pretty cheap investment for a lot of entertainment, especially if you like to fish.
Yep.
There are quite a few people who like to fish. Speaking of fishing, I saw a notice somewhere of a bass fishing tournament coming up on April the 9th, was it, for a fundraiser for the IU Bass Fishing Club, which will be at Lake Monroe. And you can either sign up on their internet site, or you can show up at the boat ramp and pay your entry fee down there. They're having 80% payout, I guess they said, which is pretty good for a bass tournament. And to raise some money for the bass club, I don't know what they spend it for, but they're not hurting anything. They're doing probably doing better than a lot of people do for the environment. Although you never know, do you?
No.
Okay, but Bass Fishing Club at IU, big term coming up.
And I just looked this up. Yeah, it is $23, and 64 is the date.
64.
Yep. For the elderly. License.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bass fishing tournament.
No, sorry.
The bass fishing tournament's April the 9th, I'm pretty sure. And it's at, I believe they said the Cut Right Ramp. That's usually where they go for these bass fishing tournaments.
Yeah.
And that's about the only thing that's coming up that's on my horizon events. I do want to mention that a lot of people have told me they've been seeing sandhill cranes down at Linton.
Yep.
To Goose Pond and elsewhere. A friend of mine was here this morning and said he saw a lot of them before you got to Goose Pond, just out in the cornfields that are around the Goose Pond area. That's all pretty much farmland and around there. And there's a lot of sandhill cranes now.
Well, I've seen some flying. Seems to have slowed down a little bit, but we were seeing lots of V formation geese coming in, and the cranes definitely sound a little different, and they have a different.
They definitely have a different sound, and you can hear them a long way off.
Yeah, I think they're a little higher than the geese like to fly too. But I've seen some of those too, so I'm sure there's some around Lake Monroe. Maybe if you get up
some of those herons fly across mountains. Mm-hmm. The Asian heron crosses the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Now, that's flying pretty dang on high.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's amazing how they can get up to that high. I think the thing I read about that was they would easily top 20,000 feet.
Right.
You know, air is thin up there, so they must have pretty good lungs.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're interesting to see, especially when they're doing their little courtship dances. You know, they mm-hmm. jump up in the air with each other and sometimes throw pieces of moss up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of humorous to see them in action and doing that.
There was I told you we bought Northern Exposure all the
yes.
seasons.
Yeah,
there's one in there where Ed, if you remember Ed Chigliak,
yes, of course,
he finds a lone crane of some sort that was off by itself, you know, a baby or whatever. And what was the guy, the radio guy, Chris in the morning, he goes with him, and they're out there, and he's like, well, the only thing we can do now is dance. He's like, what? And they start doing the putting their hands up in the air, and the next thing you know, that they'll just start doing it, you know.
Well,
dancing around. Cool. And, yeah, I have some bird news.
Let's hear it.
Well, we were complaining a week or so ago that we didn't see any robins, but they have come back with a vengeance. I've seen them all over the place right now. Have you seen any more?
We saw some here this week. Not a big gang of them, but we never have a big gang of them. There was a few out in the yard.
Yeah.
Looking around for worms.
And my big news is that the quail or the bobwhite that we've been hearing through the years, they seem to be two of them now.
Oh.
And they're living down in this field below me, and nobody seems to bother them there. I think that's why they've hung out so long. But we're starting to hear them every morning and every evening, so that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, to hear them living out there is good news.
That's nice, yeah. Well, you know, we had so much rain this past week. When I was over in Greene County, I was actually over in Worthington, and you know, there's no lakes or anything. There's a river, right. Eel River, but I was out by the railroad track on west of town, and here comes a sandpiper walking down the rail.
Mm-hmm.
A sandpiper.
Yeah.
Up on the railroad bed, and I didn't see any water around anywhere, but.
I didn't know they came in this far to the Midwest.
Well, you see them around.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Usually along a creek, you know, but they also hang out on lakes. And this guy was hanging out next to the railroad track drainage ditch.
Hmm.
So there must be something around for them to eat. And yeah, sandpipers are always interesting.
Yeah.
They're kind of humorous.
Oh, I love them at the beach, you know, and they go running back and forth with the wave, looking for mussels and stuff.
Yeah, sanderlings, the little ones, you know, those little tiny guys.
Yeah.
They're most entertaining for that, too. And, bird-wise, new arrivals here. Yesterday, we had a Phoebe, which is the first Phoebe I've seen this year, and usually they're one of the very first birds, but... The grackles and the red-winged blackbirds were already here,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't really seen anybody else yet. I should start seeing brown thrashers should be rolling in here pretty soon. Catbirds.
We've had some cardinals.
Oh, they're year-round.
But you know, I mean, I've seen them.
Yeah, I'm sure you. Do you have a feeder out for?
No, because of the cats.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Too many cats in the area.
Yeah, right. Well, they'll hunt those quail, too, so good luck to the quail. Never know how that's going to work out with a cat.
I know. Well, we've got some feral ones running around. Our cats don't go out. I'm not worried about them. They're mostly inside. Those feral ones, you never know what they're going to get into.
But well, anything they can.
Mine have been catching some good mice, so I'm happy about that.
Oh, well, it's always good to have some mousers around.
Yeah.
Good for that. Well, somebody was also asking about crappie-thon. We had crappie-thon here back in, I guess that was the 80s or the late 70s. We had the tangle-free Tom, you know. And,
Still had some since we've done the show because Rambo used to be out there involved.
Yeah, I believe 2008 or 2009.
Mm-hmm. There was at least a couple of years that happened, yeah.
About the last, but it's still going, you know, the crappie-thon is still going down in like a Kentucky lake, I think, and one or two other places.
Yeah.
So they've just go to the places where they get really big crowds now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe there was enough people still interested to keep crappie-thon going here at Monroe. So I believe that's still where it stands.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want a crappie-thon, you got to get a hold of Danny Wagner. That's Dan Wagner, who used to be associated with them. I think he still is, and he could probably fill you in on anything that you wanted to know, and he is on Facebook, so you can find him pretty easily. And Daryl Van Vactor is the other guy. He's the guy that runs the show, and he's also on the internet, and I believe you could find him on Facebook also. And if you really want to know what's going on and get a schedule for a crappie-thon, that'd be the place to look.
Yeah,
that's Daryl Van Vactor. That's VanVactor. I'm pretty sure that's how you spell his name. So anyway, crappie-thon's still going. Bass fishing tournament coming up. There's a bass fishing tournament scheduled pretty solid now through May down at Monroe. So don't be surprised if you go down there and find some bass boats around. They have some of those tournaments during the week, but most of them are on a weekend day because that's, of course, when people are available to go fishing. Most people work, you know. So, anyway, that's still going fairly strong. the bass fishing tournaments. And there was another Lake Monroe related thing I saw at somebody was asking about how the fishing was in the spillway, you know, below the dam.
Right.
And this one guy said there hadn't been any fishing down there below the dam because all the fish got wiped out during the COVID. He said that was people were lying in the creek down there like it was a trout fishing day in Pennsylvania, you know, and our opening day in Pennsylvania. Well, I saw some, I've seen people down there, but I've never seen the banks lined with people. That maybe I just missed that.
Nah, I don't know. I go down there a lot and I didn't, but there was a time that there was maybe a little more than usual, but it wasn't that many. It was maybe 6 to 10 fishermen at a time. I don't think
that'd be about the most I've seen there.
That wouldn't be wiping the fish out, I don't believe.
No, and besides, you know, the spillway is part of the creek.
Yeah.
And you got two things happening. You got fish swimming upstream, which they come from all the way from the East Fork of the White River up Salt Creek to the dam. And you got fish that escape from Monroe and come through the dam.
Yeah.
And get done. So there's a constant resupply of fish there. And, I don't think that it's been fished out.
Well, and fish or the food kind of comes out of that spillway too. There's more food there for the fish, and I think they swim up for that too.
Well, you know, it's just natural for fish to want to go upstream. That's what they do, and
yep.
They're not going any farther than the spillway.
Right.
So there's going to be fish in there. It's hard when the water's high. When there's a big discharge.
Well, there is, and there has been for a while, and I think that's probably what people are complaining about, because it's about level, almost level with the, you know, with the spillway where the concrete is.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just like a big river flowing out of there. It's not even pouring out.
Well, I'd say the fishing conditions are pretty tough right now, especially there and places like Cataract, which, you know, when the water comes up there, it doesn't just come up 5 or 6 or 10 feet. It comes up 30 feet.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
And it was 30 feet a week ago when we did this show. And the last I heard, it was 24 feet. And, that's tough fishing. And to launch your boat, one guy said he had to launch off of the boat ramp road. That's probably to that bait shop up at the top of the hill. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, before you go to Cataract, you might want to call over there and ask somebody.
Right.
Follow a bait shop. See, but the pictures I've seen of the parking lots and stuff, there's maybe one truck. So I don't believe there's a whole lot of fishing going on in Cataract right now.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's probably the best crappie lake in our, close to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get nice sized crappie there. Now, Patoka is also producing some pretty nice crappie, and they still have red air in there. They haven't been eliminated totally by the gizzard shed, which that's what hurt us at Lake Monroe, pretty much took care of the bluegills. But Patoka is still in fairly good shape in that regard, and especially for red ear. And other good places for red ear, of course, are the Strimmer pits. You go over to Owen or Greene County and check out some of those older strip pits. They're so clear, you know, you can see down in the water. And you look down in there and you can see some obviously 2-pound red ear swimming around down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, of course, they see you.
Yeah.
And you cannot, they're the hardest things to catch in that clear water over there. It's just nearly impossible. And you almost have to fish at night. And who likes to fish for sunfish at night?
No.
That's just very difficult. And they can see your line. You know, you can use a 4-pound test line and they can see that.
Yeah.
So you can go over there and give it a try. I'd recommend fishing on the bottom with red worms. They like red worms. And they do root on the bottom a lot.
Yeah.
So you got to be pretty slow and easy, just barely moving that across the bottom when you're fishing. But they're worth the effort. Another good place to try, not close to here, but it's fairly close, actually, is down at the Lake Salina, Lake Tipsaw. Just straight, if you just go down straight down 37, you're going to run by it after you cross I-64 down by Sulphur, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
south of English, south of French Lick, way down in there, you know. And once you cross I-64, it's only a little ways, maybe a mile or half a mile to the turnoff to go to Lake Salina and Indian Lake. And Indian Lake is the one with the red ears in it. And you'll find other red ear fishermen there, I'm sure. And that means fishing in the back end of the reservoir pretty much, and fishing on the bottom with red worms. And you know, you can, if you're sitting there in your boat, you start looking around, you'll see bubbles
mm-hmm.
coming up
mm-hmm.
Around little strings of bubbles. Those are generally red ear rooting on the bottom, because that's what they do. You know, if you ever cut one of them stomach open, you find out that's what it looks like they've got in there is black sediment from the bottom, but they're scooping up larvae, all kinds of things. Down.
Right.
And you can do pretty well on red ear. And that lake also has some decent crappie in it. And if you're not doing good on red ear back in the back end, just start going up bank with jigs, you know, real carefully, cast up into the edge of the weeds,
mm-hmm.
Into the weeds that are along the edge of the bank there, and you'll catch some crappies. I've always found that lime green plastic body is the best thing for worm down there. And it's time to get out and give it a try.
Absolutely.
Absolutely right. It's I've got the disease right now. Of course, my boat's not ready to go, so you know, there's always something, isn't there? Yeah.
Well,
get your boat ready.
I'm getting ready to get some new gear. I'm not happy with my old stuff anymore, and I saw a couple of nice poles recently that have been burning a hole in my head.
Well, you better consult with Don before you make any big purchases.
Okay, I'll do that.
I'm a big fan of ultralight rods. I use them for everything from muskies to catfish. Now, you're not going to do too good on a 64-pound catfish with an ultralight, but
right.
Anything else, you know, you can bring it in
mm-hmm.
and have a lot of fun. I prefer a 6.5-foot, even a 7-foot ultralight rod with this. With a ultralight reel to go with it. So there's mm-hmm. my fishing tip for today.
Cool.
And we're about out of fishing tips.
About out of time. You know, I wanted to just say one little thing that I forgot to say last week, but I was driving back from North Carolina and about got killed by a policeman driving 110 miles an hour with his lights on and down near Bedford. And I don't know how they can do that. Isn't there a law against them doing that kind of speed for whatever emergency? I can't imagine an emergency big enough to do that, because a lot of cars almost wrecked. You know?
Well, I don't believe there is. I believe they can drive whatever speed they feel is required.
Well, this one was at least 100 miles an hour, and that seems to be a little crazy.
And he cut you off right at that exit
yep.
that comes off of the interstate up there onto 37.
Yeah, around that bend.
And it's, you know, it goes from two lanes down to one skinny little lane with hardly any
yep.
notice. And if somebody's coming in there on your left side, you might not notice them.
Well, remember, folks, watch out for that. We only have another second left, so I'm going to say goodbye. But I just wanted to bring that up. So watch out for those things that you don't expect.
Goodbye, everybody. See
All
you
right.
next time.
All right. See you.
Bye, Rich.
Bye.
Okay. We done?
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on WFHB with hosts Don Jordan, Rich Reardon, Buddy Bill Moser, and D. Allen Brodenberg. And by the way, if you missed the show, you can listen online at
InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, or right here on WFHB's website under Public Affairs. We hope to see you next week, right here on Inside Outdoors.